Well, this is my second tape, and I guess I'll just have to go through and finish it off so that I won't leave you hanging in the midair telling you that I saw Sister of Notre Dame. But anyhow, I did. I was walking through the, walking out of the grounds, and I saw this nun walking by herself, and I went over, and I said, "Sister, you're a Sister of Notre Dame?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And so I told her I went to school to this. She said, "Yes, I am. And how good to hear English spoken." I said, "Oh, well, I'm from Massachusetts. I went to school in Massachusetts to the Sisters of Notre Dame." She said, "Oh, I'm from Massachusetts, too. How good to hear English spoken. Boston English." And I laughed to myself because it's been so long since I've been from that I've actually lived in Massachusetts that I'm sure I haven't much of an accent. And I never had a Bostonian accent. But I knew what she meant. So we had a little chat. And turned out she was from Emmanuel College, and her name was Sister Vincent de Paul. And she was over here studying art. She was very interesting to talk to. We chatted for a few minutes. Apparently they had been staying in convents in Spain and in Italy and found them sadly lacking in comparison to what we have in the United States. And I told her that I had a cousin that graduated from Emmanuel, and she didn't know Peggy because she was in the art department. But anyhow, I'll tell you more about that later. I ran into her again. Gee, it looks like I could stand a little more voltage on this machine. Just a second. Anyhow, to continue with my story. We didn't have anything to eat, but I did get unpacked and everything at the Bethany Hotel, and our room was very nice. We had a perfectly lovely view out the window. You can see the river, which flows through the town. It smells, oh, horribly. I don't know what they do to it. And you can get a very good view of the Basilica and the Pyrenees all around. You know, whenever they're describing Lourdes, they always say, nestled in the heart of the Pyrenees, and it gets to be almost trite. But actually, that's what it is. It's right in the middle of these mountains. And on one side, when you look up on the mountain, you'll see three crosses. And then another area, when you look over, you'll see one cross. So we went back at 9 o'clock for the candlelight procession. And everybody met at the grotto. And the priest in Liverpool was saying the rosary. And they said a decade in English, then in Latin, and in French and Italian. And then in English again and in Latin again. And I understand, though, that when there isn't an English group there from England or from Ireland, that English isn't spoken at all. However, it was. We were very fortunate. And this priest was very sincere and very devout. And, I think they might have said a decade in, I was going to say in the language of the Netherlands, but I don't think they did. Anyhow, when the candlelight procession started, the priest got up. I kind of got a chuckle out of this because he said, the order of the procession will be as follows. Liverpool leads, followed by Italy. I got a big kick out of that. But anyhow, all the people went out and had the candlelight procession. And, of course, it's very dark at night. And, again, I can't really describe the scene to it. But there are here are maybe 10 or 20,000 people with candles, and they leave the grotto, and the steps up to the basilica, oh my, it's exhausting, or even the ramp to get up there, you know. If you're not dead tired when you get there, you're dead tired by the time you leave, that's for sure. So I walked up the ramp, and up the ramp to in front of the basilica, and then back down again, and around the statue of the Blessed Virgin and the Esplanade, and then all came back in front of the basilica. And you have a candle, but you also have a little holder in the front of it that lights up with the light of the candle. And the song of Lourdes is printed in the language that you are used to, either English or German or French or whatever you happen to be speaking. And everybody sings, and of course the chorus is in Latin. And when we got to, when everyone was all in the area, you know, in the Esplanade, they said the credo together in Latin for the people of the persecuted countries and the Salve Regina for the persecutors, that I guess God would grant them mercy. And then after that, everyone went home. Well, personally, I think it's a miracle that no one gets burnt in those things. I mean, when you have all those people with those candles, and a couple of those paper covers that they had for the flame went up, you know. And there was a girl behind me, she was in Italy, and I thought she was going to set Vi's mentee on fire, and I just kind of pushed Vi up a little bit. And this Italian girl tapped me on the shoulder, and she just shook her head no to indicate she wasn't going to set her on fire, but the way they play with those things, you know. And I think we were in mostly with the British group, though, because they were, but there's so many from Britain there. And the nurses, I don't know, it looked like there was almost a nurse for every patient, but I'm sure that there weren't, and I'm sure they must have been awfully tired. They wear the European headband, you know, because they don't dress as neatly as the American nurses do, not that I'm prejudiced in any way, but they really don't. And they looked awfully tired, I thought. Most of them, gee, they were. And they had many student nurses from the Netherlands, and I think mostly from the Netherlands there were students. Well, and they looked beat. But I'm sure that taking care of those people was no small task, because I'm sure it was a 24-hour-a-day job. And, of course, they marched in all the processions. And, well, I tell you, you couldn't be every place at one time there. It's just unbelievable. So I did start, I went out, and we walked around the town a little bit and came back to the hotel, and that's when I collected the water bottles. And I did see, I didn't buy very much. I bought a couple of medals, which I'll send home, and you can do what you want with the mother. But I did see a tile plaque to St. Edith, and I had never seen one before, and it was spelled the same way Edith spells her name, so I did get one to bring back to her. And I did get what do you call them? Oh, I got a spoon that said Lord's on it for Ruth. You know, Ruth collects little spoons, so anytime I go to someplace different, I try to get her a spoon. And I will try to mail off Edith's little tile if it doesn't break on the way. It's very, very pretty. St. Edith, apparently she must have been a French queen. So, let's see, by that time I went to bed. Was I tired? We were too tired to eat, really. Too tired to eat. I guess the dining room closed at 9 o'clock. Anyway, we would have missed dinner, but we stopped off at one of those little push carts and got some rolls and had that when we got back to the room. Tasted darn good, too, I'll tell you. But I went to bed, and I was completely just shot. So the next morning I got up, I wanted to go to Mass at 8 o'clock. And I got over there, and Violet came over, and she collected the water. I gave her the job of collecting the holy water. And she drank some of it. She thought maybe it might help her rheumatism. So I went down into the, I went into the Basilica to Mass, and there was not one Mass going on, but several, just all over. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say there are 40, 50 Masses there a day at all. I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. So I went to Mass, and I was standing in line for communion and was probably in the third row by this time. Many railings had received communion, and the priest just stopped, and that was it. He just didn't distribute any more communion. But then after he went off the altar, another priest came out and said Mass, and I just stood up at the altar rail with all the rest of the people, and we received communion after the consecration with that Mass. And I went down